I'm not sure who the oldest in the barn is, but I'm going to venture that it may be Brother Joe, and he's, I would assume, the oldest minister in the auditorium. But the material that I'm going to be covering is not new material. But one of the things that I have noticed in some places, when I'm able to go to gospel meetings, there is a lack of some things. I went to a gospel meeting a few years ago and took my family, and there was one scripture in the lesson. One. And my wife at the time, Angie, said, did you notice on how many scriptures were in it? I said, well, I noticed on how many scriptures were not in it. And my children were there, and that was the thing that was quite significant, because my children needed to hear things. And I'm not going to say I'm going to present this lesson specifically for people that are under 30 years of age tonight, because this is important for everybody. But I want to be able to bear in mind, because whenever it took me a while to kind of come to an understanding of the material that I want to deal with tonight. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, it reads, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. And also in the 16th chapter of the book of Romans, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So there are some things that we gather, us as Christians, from those two verses quite often. But what I want to try to deal with is some thoughts, some things that have transpired in most of our lifetime. I don't know of anybody here that lived in the 19th century other than Curtis, but we're going to go with the 21st century and as far as some of the divisions that have occurred. Even before the inspired word was completed, there were differences in churches of Christ. At Corinth, preachers were taking each other to court. Division over eating meats. And at Galatia, there was some observing of Jewish ordinances and observing certain Jewish holidays. One of the biggest things, however, today, I think, is the differences over authority. We talked about this briefly yesterday, that years ago, 50 years ago, that we had a lot of discussions and a lot of things that were taught regarding the authority of the scriptures, whether or not we had the right to do certain things. And unfortunately, within the last number of years, we've gotten to the point where we're trying to encourage people to actually to realize that there is a God. But I think that this material will be helpful. It would be real good if we had somebody that could present it, but I'm going to do the best that I can to share some information. When you think about the word authority, you're talking about the right, the power, or jurisdiction in a matter. When we went to lunch yesterday, what was the gentleman's name that I spoke with that owned the building, Curtis? Ethan Bruton. Curtis introduced me to him yesterday, and so I just turned around and I said, are you the man? And he smiled, and he said, well, whatever it was. And I said, well, you know what man stands for, right? And he kind of looked at me, and it wasn't a Supreme Court judge trying to tell us what a woman was. But I said, do you know what the man is? He said, well, will you help me with that? I said, well, this is something that I used to teach my folks as far as at the office. I said, the man is the money, the authority, and the need. Okay? There's you an acronym. The money, the authority, and the need. And it's amazing that in business that people understand those three things. Because you can have the need all day long, but if you hadn't got the money, you're kind of in trouble. unless you're the government, you just charge it. And you may have the need, and yet you don't have the authority. One of my children may have said, well, we need a swimming pool. Well, you need all you want, but you're going to have to go to somebody else's house because I didn't want one, and we didn't get one. And they didn't have the authority to make that choice. So when you think about money, authority, and need in the business world, we understand authority, don't we? You know, the boss said this, or the manager said this, that we can do this or we can't do that, and we're going to change this. We understand that in the business world. But sometimes it's a little difficult for people to understand what authority means regarding the scriptures. So I want to ask, do you follow Cine in all you do? And you're saying, well, I'm not sure I've followed that before. Well, Cine is this. Do you follow command, example, and necessary inference? Do you follow that? And I don't know that I run across people who call it Cine much, but that's just an acronym. But in other words, do you have authority for what you do? So let's look at some things. There are differences over authority. Authority is a biblical subject overlooked by many. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. Don't go too far. Don't go too far. Stay within the boundaries. Stay within the law. What's the authority? Colossians 3:17. That's actually the words to the song that Brother Malcolm led us in just before we began the lesson. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That verse is really probably not a big proponent in a lot of churches today. It's probably not quoted very much in churches of today. It's certainly not followed in a lot of churches today. We need to have authority for what we say and do. Again, we must speak where the Bible speaks. Again, these are not verses that are brand new. But what I'm trying to say is I don't know how old Preston is exactly, and I've met he and Curtis, but these are lessons that whenever I was growing up, I think they helped me as I got older to kind of understand why we did what we did at the congregation or why the brethren did not do something. You know, why couldn't we have a gymnasium? We'll talk more about that in a little bit, but why can't we have a kitchen? As much as I eat, I'd like to have a kitchen around often. So, not to go beyond what is written. We must speak again where the Bible speaks, and presumption, to presume something, to assume something, that's not authority. Presumption is to presume or to assume, and that's not authority. That's not the proper authority to presume something. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, and especially those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise authority, they are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Psalm 19:13, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. When we think about the division, there are differences over how the work of the church is to be done. For example, in the work of evangelism, I heard you all make a comment about a brother that you all had sent some money individually for him to be able to get his vehicle running properly. All right? There's a way to be able to do certain things. So we need to say, well, what is the pattern? How do we go about doing that? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar on the ground of the truth. Furthermore, we have examples, but not just examples. We have apostolic examples. Acts 11, verse 22, then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 1 chapter 1, verse 8. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Again, those examples of evangelism and apostolic examples, but the local church and then evangelism. The local church supported gospel preachers. That's how they got paid. A brother asked me just about services. He was trying to get some information about something that I'd said yesterday. He said, do I understand that you're not working? You don't have a job now. Well, I guess. But I pretty much gave all of that up about 5 years ago. That allowed me, like Brother Don, to be able to do places, go places. And I was not, as was Brother Corley or even maybe Brother Curry at times, I had a secular job. So that's the majority of my income. Maybe Brother Derek is somebody that can understand maybe having an income sidewise, or it may be just something that he is completely supported by the church. Well, my food, clothing, and shelter basically came from my secular work. I was able to preach for congregations that were smaller that, you know, they basically gave me gas money. And that's about all they gave me. But there is a way for men in light of certain passages. And let's read this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 8 through 9, I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself. Sometimes we talk about here somebody that said, well, they made tents. We understand, hopefully, they had a secular position. They were a teacher of something along those lines. But there's nothing wrong with the church supporting a man full time. And why is that? Well, just hang on. It's called book, chapter, and verse. The local church supported gospel preachers. In light of the Jerusalem church sent Barnabas to Antioch. The local church may support a man preaching in other areas. We read Philippians 1, 3 through 5. And let's look just briefly in regards to Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Again, I don't want to run through these so quickly that you can't see them or hear them. But first, Philippians 2, 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. And he was, read there in verse 27, it said that he was nigh death. Why? Because of the cause of the gospel. He had worked diligently to do that. And then chapter 4 and verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now, we'll talk more, Lord willing, in a few minutes about a middleman organization or a sponsoring church. Is there any authority for that? Or where did they actually send the monies? Did they send it to the need or did they send it to some other place? So when several churches may support the same preacher, some of you brethren may have been supported by the local congregation, but somewhere else as well. Where did they send the money to? We'll look at that in just a moment. The biblical pattern of evangelism. Each church gave as it could. Each church sent directly to the preacher. Here's a real simple, I mean, I can't do any other way than that. It's simple. But a New Testament pattern for evangelism. Church A, Church B, Church C sent to the preacher. Acts 11, 22, Philippians 1, 3 through 5. 225, 415, and also from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8 through 9. Now, what about a scripture? What about a scripture where this is the situation? A church that sends to a church, or church B sends to a church, or C sends to a church, and then they send it to the preacher. Kevin's shaking his head no. Why? There ain't no authority. There's no biblical verse for that. And that's what I want the little ones to understand. Not just you big ones, but the reason that the brethren here do what they do is because they have C-E-N-I. They have command, they have example, or necessary inference. There's no scripture for doing it another way. What else is not in the pattern? Well, we talked about the missionary society. A church to send to a missionary society or some organization other than to the individual. There is no scripture for that. Again, what about a sponsoring church? Some organization, whether it's in Nashville, Birmingham, Texas, wherever it may be. There is no authority for that. Sending directly to the need, verse 16 of Philippians chapter 4, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. They sent directly to where the need was. Again, a missionary society is a perversion of the organization. The missionary society is not in the pattern. The church, whether it's A, B, C, D, E, F, whatever the case may be, and regarding the missionary society, and then send it to the preacher, there is not any authority for that. None whatsoever. But when you get to the idea, well, you know, it seemed like a great idea. Well, then we got a problem. Because we've got to stay within the pattern. Again, when we think about the sponsoring church, I'm just trying to say that the missionary society is not in the pattern. And there is no arrangement for that. God restricted the elders to the local church. A sponsoring church eldership assumes the work of other churches. I'm not old enough. I've read enough about the Herald of Truth arrangement, and some of you others are old enough to remember, but I'm not old enough to remember all that went on at that time frame and other arrangements such as that. I'm fascinated with some history. I had a chance to talk to Brother Frank Ritchie today, and my dad's in the hospital right now, and so his mental capacity is not too swift. So I needed somebody to help me. And talked about some of the board of directors that were at Montgomery when my dad was there, or grandfather was there. But I was talking to him about a fellow by the name of J. Petty Ezell. Some of you may remember that name, J. Petty Ezell. But also talking about some of the arrangements that were going on back in the 50s and then into the 60s. And a lot of people, in fact, Frank was telling me, he said, Lonnie, there's a lot of things that I didn't know. He said, until I started doing some study, he said, I didn't know that Alabama Christian had gotten involved in some of those things until later on. But you take somebody my age, and I'm a real young fellow. I'm 59. But you take somebody my age and younger, and we were talking about places like Stony Point and Salem and Cross Point and whatever some of those places that are what we would call institutional, how much do you think those people that are 60 and younger, maybe even younger than that, how many people do you think, Brother Nicky, Dickie, how many people do you think, how much do they know about the truth? Frank and I said, they don't know anything. You know why? Because they hadn't heard information like this. So I don't know how much you know. Sure, the brother Derek speaks on this often, but we need to know why we do what we do and why we don't do what we don't do. But a sponsoring church, there is no authority for such arrangement as that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for honest gain, but eagerly. The elders at New Georgia have no authority over the church at Anderson, or at Underwood Heights, or at Singing River, or anywhere else. Their authority is here. I think that's important for all of us young ones to know. Brother Curtis, Brother Tim, they have oversight here, not anywhere else. We call that local autonomy. The elders who are among you, shepherd the flock of God. Sponsoring churches exist without divine authority. Thus, they are not scriptural. Never was there an organization between the church and the support for preaching. There are differences over how the work of the church is to be done. For example, the local church and edification. When you take these words, and I don't like to get into those words, I think Brother Derek called it the etymology yesterday, and I'm not trying to get into the Greek of that, because about all I can do that's Greek is just eat it or write it, because it looks terrible. But when you look at the word, it means to establish, to instruct, and improve, especially in moral and religious knowledge, to edify. And I think as Brother Corley was leading in prayer, we were talking about that the things that I would say, not only would they be glorifying to God, but they would benefit the listeners, the audience, that we would edify those that are here tonight. That's my goal. That's my aim. Not to tell jokes, not to try to amuse you, but rather to give you something that you can carry with you and that you can say something to your children and say, now, do you know now why we don't have a kitchen? Do you know now why we don't have a gymnasium? Do you know now why we don't have a something else? Maybe it'll help those of you, some of you that are parents that were not sure. But it was helpful to me to remind my children. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Ephesians 4:15-16, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. If you ever see me quote something that's not exactly the same, I'm quoting from King James, and I've got the new King James on the board, so look it up. 2 Corinthians 12:19. I'm just trying to help you with it on the board. Again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We think before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. 2 Corinthians 13:10. Therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. You know, maybe y'all have heard the word fellowship before. You ever heard the word fellowship? Probably 18 years ago, whenever I was working in Birmingham, the guy that was my boss at the time, he invited those that were in the office to go over to his house. He said, we're going to have some good fellowship. He said, we're going to have a little beer and we're going to have a little dancing. And he said, we're going to have some good fellowship. And I really wanted to know, that's some fellowship that I'm not real familiar with. Because I think people don't understand what the word fellowship means. Fellowship is regarding a spiritual thing. It's not just getting together and eating a hot dog, or eating the cake and getting the bread, or whatever it was that we talked about yesterday. It's not just getting together and having a good old gay time. I'm using it the old way. I'm talking about fellowship is the working together mutually among brethren. But we need to understand, you know, words really do have meanings. Words have meanings. So the local church and edification. How did the local church do this? Did they use a human institution to teach its members? Churches today support kindergartens, elementary and high schools, and colleges from their treasuries. My question is, and I think it ought to be all of our question, where's the authority to do such as that? Where is that? So the edification not in the pattern for New Testament churches, such as a church sending to the colleges, high schools, kindergartens, and then helping out the members. Same thing, the edification. Where's the scriptural pattern for New Testament churches? There are differences over how the work of the church is to be done, the local church edification, and the work of benevolence. When you think about benevolence, think about maybe from a financial standpoint, or they need sustenance. They need help. From Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45, the question that we want to raise is, who received benevolence in the New Testament? I would like for you, I'm not saying that you don't already know this, but if you had a camera or if you wanted this printed out, somehow or another, just so that you will know this information. I think this is important. Who received benevolence? Who received money or help or assistance in the New Testament? Watch. Acts 2:44, all that believe. Acts 2:42, 32 through 35, them that believe. Acts 6:1, the disciples. Acts 11:29, relief unto the brethren. Romans 15:25, unto the saints. 15:26, for the poor saints. 15:31, accepted of the saints. 1 Corinthians 16:1, collection for the saints. 2 Corinthians 9:1, ministering to the saints. 2 Corinthians 9:12, supplies the need of the saints. 1 Timothy 5:16, relieve them that are widows indeed. They're believers. Remember those qualifications. And as far as she was a believer. So who received benevolence in the New Testament? I got one answer for you. Saints. If you don't like that word, use the word Christian. Saints. Not any and everybody that could stick their hand out and say, you know, I'm hungry. Well, you might be. And if you're hungry, I'll get you something. Let's go over here and we'll get you something to eat. But a lot of times we have people who think that that's the responsibility of the church. I don't know when you were in Birmingham, Brother Derek, but whenever I was growing up, when Dad was at one of the congregations there, on Sunday afternoon, they used to have something called a telethon. Y'all may remember telethons, where it was the muscular dystrophy. And there was a character in Birmingham and his name was Dennis James. And he would come on. You remember that guy? Dennis James would come on Sunday afternoon, and they would have these telephones where people would call in, and they would, donate money, or, you know, they would promise money for the muscular dystrophy. And then they would go to the network, maybe in California or Newark, and they would have, what's the goofy guy? I can't even think of his name. And you're saying the comedian. Jerry Lewis. That's the one. Thank you. Jerry Lewis, he was the one that was from the national standpoint. But Dennis James was a local celebrity, I guess, in Birmingham. And I can remember we were getting ready to head back to worship service. And for some particular reason, the TV was on. And Dennis James was really, they were getting down to the last little bit. And he said, now listen, folks. He said, listen, we're going to get serious. And he said, I'm going to talk to some really, he said, now churches. I'm talking to y'all right now. He said, after all, this is what y'all exist for, to help poor folks. Well, when you have local celebrities and when you have people like Joel Osteen and some of his ilk, you might think that the responsibility of the church is to provide for poor folks. That's why it is important that we study and that we teach and that we emphasize what the real work of the church is. I don't think that this is an unnecessary exercise tonight. Here's something that was interesting to me. I got this chart. Thought it was pretty good. So you've got Broadway, Lubbock, Texas, German Fund, Children's Home, Bible Chair. You got the Gunner Home. You got things, you just got all kind of stuff. You got contributing churches down here, and you got contributing churches, you see them right there. We just got money flowing everywhere, you know, coming in. We got Mexico, and we got New York, and we got all kind of places. Really what we got is that we've got money in orbit. It's just flowing, kind of like our government, just money flowing, just flowing. And there's no real accountability for that. But is this God's plan or is it man's plan? This is man's plan. Whenever we just want to start taking up money for this cause or for that cause or for this idea or some other idea. Command, example, necessary inference. Speaking where the Bible speaks and silent where the Bible is silent. Again. 21st century division churches, there are differences in doctrine. We haven't said a lot yet. We may say more. The use of instrumental music in worship. How many times have you been asked or told, maybe some of you who are in school and said, when they found out that you went to the Church of Christ or something along those lines, oh, y'all the ones that don't believe in music. I said, no, I believe in music. There's good music and there's bad music. You know, there's rock and roll, there's country, there's, you know, all kind of music. But as far as what is authorized, it's not instrumental as far as mechanical instrumental, but we use the instrument that God gave us. Now, whenever you see that, you mean, you know, you got some people who kind of like me that not real bright, you know, and they, the instrument that God gave us. I said, yeah, the only instrument that God gave us, vocal music, singing, and that's all that we do. So Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Also from Colossians 3:16. Remember verse 17? Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord. That follows this verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Sing, 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 sing. There's authority for that. There's no authority for a piano, guitar, anything along those lines. We only have authority for singing. Denying the necessity of baptism for remission of sins. There's a lesson that y'all are going to get, Lord willing, at Singing River soon. I talked to Frank about this. This is a lesson y'all are going to get soon. We were laughing about it the other day. Frank said that he heard a black gentleman on the radio somewhere, and he said that you can't, and I told y'all yesterday, you can't dry clean a man into salvation. In other words, you know, you got people, they give you all kind of ideas. You know, say the Lord's Prayer and accept the Lord as your personal Savior. A man's got to get wet, just like Naaman did. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch did. But when people deny the necessity of baptism for the remission of sins, we're violating Scripture. Mark 16:16 is clear to me. Why is it not clear to other folks? He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Acts 22:16. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Those are clear to me. We used the verse yesterday, 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism doth also now save us. I don't know how many of you all may know Jay Gouin. I have a first cousin who for several years attended at the university church in Tuscaloosa. I called him not too long ago. They no longer attend there. He said things kind of went haywire. Things kind of went wacky. But Jay Gouin was one of the elders at the University Church of Christ in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So I'm going to share something with you. Because I asked Mark about this, and I said, do you know anything about it? He said, yeah. He said, I remember that. Because of how the question has affected fellowship among believers, I've been honored with an invitation to address the question, what is an acceptable baptism? I agreed, but I'm not feeling good about it. You see, I think it's entirely the wrong question. The question assumes that baptism is essential to salvation. And I think it's a mistake to start with that assumption. Can you see why the congregation there? Some of you may know Larry Rouse. Larry Rouse, that's where he became a Christian. He had come out of the Baptist church. Larry and I used to talk about that a good bit. But when you began to study the Scriptures, you realize there's some of these things that are going on. There's no authority for those. Many of you all may know somebody who came out not only out of denominationalism, but may have come out of institutionalism. What's going on here? Book, chapter, and verse. But for this man to say this, I think we got a problem. I think they have a problem. When denying the necessity of baptism for the remission of sins. Again, and then we have open fellowship. What are we talking about? Well, we'll just fellowship anybody. Maybe kind of like what was going on at Abilene Christian. You know, they would just accept somebody's baptism, whether it was in the Baptist church or the Catholic church. They were just going to accept whoever. They're just going to accept, you know, if you said you've been baptized, rather than saying what was the purpose of your baptism, y'all been through this before. My deceased wife, whenever I was discussing her, she was a Baptist, and I asked her, I said, she said, well, I've been baptized. I said, you have? I said, when were you baptized? And she told me, I said, well, what was the purpose of your baptism? She says, well, I was going to become a member of Second Baptist Church in Boaz, Alabama. I said, okay. I said, at what point were you saved? She says, oh, I was saved whenever I went up to the altar and I accepted the Jesus into my heart. I said, well, why were you baptized then? You see the how we get all kind of discombobulated? Because according to the scriptures, baptism is what saves us. Not accepting Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior. That's important. But we obey Jesus. We love Jesus, according to John 14. You love me when you keep my commandments. The lack of emphasis on biblical teaching. There are some problems. Over the mission of the church. As noted, the mission of the church is threefold: evangelism, edification, and benevolence. Some churches of Christ have added to the mission of the church: fun and games, gymnasiums, family life centers, fellowship halls, big business. Or big business and busing. Some of you may recognize that fellow. He was around before my time. His name is Floyd Decker. You know him?
I don't know him personally.
Well, he lived in Mississippi, and one of our members who has since passed away, Sister Joyce Rickard, she knew this man. She said that whenever she was young, she knew Brother Decker. But Brother Decker lived from 1898 to 1960. He was a minister for the Christian Church, and after studying with J. Petty Easel, I talked about that a little while ago, he became a member of the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ. In January 1944, Decker wrote an article published in the Christian Forum titled, and I wouldn't be at all surprised, but that a number of you people, folks, have this in your library, on when Brother Decker wrote, Why I Left the Christian Church. In this article, he listed his reasons for leaving. Number one, the Christian church has women counselors, directors, and lecturers. The Church of Christ does not. 1 Timothy 2:11 and verse 12, 1 Corinthians 14:34. The Christian church has educational directors, associate ministers, youth directors. The Church of Christ has elders, deacons, evangelists, and teachers. Ephesians 4, verse 11, Philippians 1:1. Now, you're going to notice, I'm not trying to irritate you, but I'm going to give you the verse every single time on every one of these. And the reason I do that is as I try to encourage the folks where we are at Underwood, I said, when you give me an answer to a question or you have a comment, make your comment, whatever. But I'd like for you to try to be able to give me a verse that describes, supports, deals with it, rather than just giving me some, you know, really funny anecdote or some kind of interesting statement. Let's try to make it biblical. But whenever you have biblical discussions with somebody, and I think I've gotten into a situation where I may be wasting my time, I recently have started trying to converse with some folks on some of these Facebook questions as far as various biblical questions. And I notice that some of us, whenever we try to answer, we give 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We give all kind of verses. And when they respond back, they'll send back, well, that's the way you feel about it. And I just gave you 10 verses. But you say that's the way you feel about it, and that's how you feel about it? Where's your verse? Where's your authority? We're going to have a verse on each one of these, Lord willing. The Christian church has missionary, benevolent, and educational organizations to execute the work of the church. The Church of Christ does not. Ephesians 4:4, 3:10, and verse 21. Number four, the Christian church celebrates days of heathen worship, such as Easter, Mother's Day, and Christmas. The Church of Christ does not. Galatians 4:10. Number five, the Christian church fellowships various denominations in their activities, leaving the impression that all are brethren. The Church of Christ does not. 2 John 9-11, remember what that says? Neither bid them God speed. Whosoever goeth onward. We can't be a part of that. Galatians 1, 6 through 10. Let him be accursed. The Christian church seeks to get crowds with youth meetings, campaigns for Christ, rallies, drives, and promotions. The Church of Christ does not. And this is where I get to the point, this is what Brother Deckard had written, but now we've got churches of Christ who are doing this stuff. Because they do that kind of thing. Because, you know, they're going to try to out-denominationalize the denominational world. Because, you know, what we said it yesterday, if you're going to get them with a wing, you got to keep them with a hot dog or a hamburger. The Christian church seeks to get crowds with those kind of things. But the Lord's church, Romans 1:16, by the gospel, Revelation 22:18 and 19, not to go beyond what is written, not to shrink back from what is written. The gospel is God's power to save. Number 7, the Christian church emphasizes society and physical man by appealing to the carnal nature, which church carnivals, bands, plays, choruses, dramatics, church kitchens, church camps, and elaborate fellowship halls. The Church of Christ does not. 1 Corinthians 10:7, Romans 14:17. It's not meat and drink, but righteous joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 11:22 and verse 34. Number 8, the Christian church elevates its preachers above the rest of the members by using such titles as pastor, superintendent, president, and doctor. But the Church of Christ does not. Matthew 23:5-12. Job 32:21-22. Also, the Christian church has forced its ministers into the denominational pastor system. Number 9. The Christian church misuses the name Christian, which is a noun, by speaking of Christian nations, Christian schools, and Christian church. The Church of Christ does not. Acts 11:26-28. First Peter 4:16. Number 10. The Christian church takes up collections at services other than on the first day of the week and uses scriptural means such as suppers, property rentals, and special collections to raise money for the church. The Church of Christ follows 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 by having each member lay by in store on the first day of the week. This is its only way of raising money. Number 11. The Christian church owns and operates publishing houses, radio stations, hospitals, and other benevolent societies. Churches of Christ build nothing but churches, Ephesians 3:21. The Christian church owns, supports, and operates schools for secular education through theological schools. The Church of Christ does not. 1 Timothy 3:15. Remember, you remember when this was written? Yeah. Long time ago. Long time ago. Brother Decker would be quite surprised now. Number 13. The Christian church has a compromising spirit and will not defend its doctrine, is nothing but a man-made denomination, has no regard for the authority of the Bible, bases its practice on the silence of the scriptures, and appeals to the traditions of the elders rather than the simple, unadulterated gospel of Christ. The Christian church is not part of the New Testament church and should not be regarded as a friend of Christ nor of the church. And that goes for any other church that does not follow book, chapter, and verse. That may be stuff that you've heard running out your ears and your nose. Okay, good. Maybe you got it. But I'm hoping that that will be a refresher for some of the young folks to realize that we must have authority for what we do. So when elders here or elders somewhere else do something, they got to realize they got to have authority for what they say and what they do. And we as individuals must do the same thing. Again, as I said, people understand that in companies, in business. They even understand it in family relationships. The children really don't have the authority to make the determination as to what vehicle they're going to buy or, you know, how they're going to fix up the house. It's the person who has the money, the authority, and the need. But in regards to the scriptures, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go teach all nations, baptize them. Matthew chapter 28, Mark 16, we need to know where the authority that we need to realize. In John chapter 12:48, that's what we're going to be judged by. We're going to be judged by the words of our Lord and Savior. You shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The song that we're about to sing, there is authority for this kind of language. There is biblical authority for what we're going to sing in this song. And that's all we want to do. I don't know who here may need to render obedience. If you've never been baptized for the remission of sins, you've never come in contact with Christ's blood in obedience, we encourage you to do that. Don't put it off. Do it tonight. And if you're somebody that's got a situation, you've caused some problems, straighten it up. straighten up as far as it is known. Won't you come while we stand and sing?